أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها، ذلكم خير لكم لعلكم تذكرون. فإن لم تجدوا فيها أحدا فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم، وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم، والله بما تعملون عليم. ليس عليكم جناح أن تدخلوا بيوتا غير مسكونة فيها متاع لكم، والله يعلم ما تبدون وما تكتمون. Oh, you who believe, enter not homes other than your homes until you have asked permission and greeted the people therein. This is better for you that you may take heed. But if you do not find anyone therein, then enter not until permission is given to you. And if you are asked to go back, then go back. This will make for better purity for yourselves. And Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all that you do. There is no harm in you entering homes that are not used for living. Therein may be other uses. Home may be used for other purposes. And Allah Ta'ala knows all that you conceal and all that you reveal. The greatest problems on earth are generally on account of not showing respect to property or purity and chastity, woman and wealth. Hence, Islam has given the greatest amount of respect and honor to property, wealth, and to chastity, all things that are attached to one's lust and one's temptations. In this is the guarding of the eye and the privacy of a man's home. The home is like a castle of a man wherein he has his privacy, his exclusivity, and he has a level of respect in his home. Apart from the respect, Allah Ta'ala says, جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا. Your homes are for your peace and your tranquility. You feel a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, and a sense of peace of mind within the confines of the home. You know it very well that your privacy is not going to be invaded, so you feel quite relaxed, composed, and tranquil within the confines of the home. But this peace can only be enjoyed if that privacy of yours is respected and honored. If this privacy and this exclusivity of yours is going to be invaded at any time, then you cannot enjoy the peace of mind. You cannot enjoy the comfort of your home, because you do not know at what time and when will anybody come and invade the privacy of yours. The other reason for asking for permission when entering homes is that when a person comes asking permission in a dignified and a respectable manner, then he is received with respect and honor. The person of the home thinks to himself, look at this guest, he's come in such a dignified and respectable manner, he asked for permission, he came in a dignified manner, so I need to respect him and I need to see to him in an honorable manner. And the third reason Islam has instituted this law of asking for permission before entering the homes is on account of safeguarding the eye. The eye may just see something that is not proper, that is not right. And we know that all wrong start off at this point, where the eye has seen something that it was not supposed to be seeing. Some eye contact with some person, some woman, etc. And as a result, then that picture is already engraved into the heart. When it's engraved to the heart, now this is the beginning of all type of immorality and all type of shameful work. So Islam has instituted this law of asking for permission before entering the homes. حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Until you have asked for permission, the word that has been used, حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا, in other words, until you make yourselves comfortable, the person of the home is comfortable with you, he's become sort of familiar with you. So when you have asked permission in a manner that will make the inmate of the house comfortable, and there'll be a degree of familiarity between you and him, he'll receive you with honor and respect. So then how should the person make himself familiar, or how should he go about asking for permission? Hatta tastanisu, translated as asking for permission. So you ask for permission in a manner that there is no ambiguity, the message is complete, and there is no ambiguity in the message that has been conveyed to the inmate of the house. So when you will ask for permission after knocking the door, then you will tell him exactly who is around, so that he has no difficulty in understanding who is the person that has come. One just says, this I, this me. So there is some type of clarity left in the mind of the inmate of the house. Who is this me and I? He doesn't know you. He doesn't know who's me and I. So it doesn't make him comfortable. It doesn't create that familiarity that is required for you entering the home. So you give your complete details. For example, you'll say, I'm Yusuf, the son of Muhammad. So now he knows exactly who is the person that is entering. So he's got you in mind and he's feeling quite relaxed about it. So you give your complete description before you are entering. Who is the person exactly? The name that they know you with, they recognize you with, that would be even better. So you will say, Assalamu alaikum. And then you will say, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, or give him the surname, that the person finds it easy to understand and recognize the person that is wanting to enter. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he wanted to enter the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he says, Assalamu alaikum, hadha Abu Musa, hadha al-Ash'ari. And then permission is granted, then the person enters. Now, the inmate of the house also feels quite relaxed, and he feels to himself that this person is coming with such a dignified approach, let me receive him also with respect. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, and also greet its people. So one is, at the time that you were asking for permission, you had asked for permission, and before asking for permission, you said, Assalamu alaikum. And then when you entered the home, then to إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا. When you're entering the home, then again greet. So you'll greet once at the time you're asking for permission. And then when you are entering the home, then again you will greet for the second time. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is far better for you, for your own respect, for your own protection, your own exclusivity and privacy. This is far better. So it is a home other than your home. In your own home, obviously, you don't require permission to enter because it is your own home. But if it is a home that you are sharing perhaps with your wife or with your mother, are you required then to ask for permission before entering? Then too, it is etiquette that you enter the home after seeking permission. One sahabi had inquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is just my mother that is sharing the home with me, and there is no third person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam impressed upon him, then too you need to ask and seek permission. He said, but there's no third person, it is just my mother. Then Nabi Sallam explained to him that if you see your mother in a way that is not appropriate, perhaps she is undressing, and you have just forced yourself into her apartment, and she sees you in that manner, or you see her in that way, is obviously embarrassing. So even if it is just your mother that is in the home, then to ask for permission. And if it is your own home, then to the adab and etiquette, though it is not compulsory, but the adab and etiquette is that you make your presence known. It is likely, it is possible that your wife is entertaining some of her own guests. In the process of her entertaining the guests, they may be casual, they may be not dressed like how they're supposed to be dressing in the presence of a stranger. So they will feel embarrassed, you will feel embarrassed, if you have just entered without notifying your presence. So even if it is just your wife that is in the home, then too it is appropriate that you make your presence noted, make it known that you are coming in. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. Then the third thing that is required in the adab of entering the homes is you will give your proper identity, you will greet, and you will only enter after permission has been granted to you. If it is that the first time that you had asked for permission and there was no response, what are you supposed to be doing? Then you ask permission for the second time, and then you ask permission for the third time, and then if permission is not granted to you until the third time, then you should leave the home. But it is also appropriate that from the first knock to the second knock, there must be some type of an interval. You knock the first time, then after some type of an interval, then you knock for the second time, and then after an interval, you knock for the third time. Perhaps at the time that you had knocked for the first time, the man may have just gone to relieve himself. So obviously for him to clean himself and come out, it would take some time. Or it's possible that he has just commenced his namaz and you knocked. And then he cannot end his namaz, at least he is required to perform 2 rakats of namaz before he can make salam. So at least give him chance for a minute or 2 minutes that he can make salam and he can then receive you. But if you knock continuously first, second and third and then leave, not giving him a chance to end up and to round up whatever he is doing. So knock for 3 times, but with small intervals, so that if it is that he is engaged in something, then he can round up and see you. فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. The fourth etiquette is also, when a person is knocking and you are not in any occupation, you can see him, then don't delay him. See to him. Sometimes it is our mistake, a person is calling, and then we don't attend to him straight away, whereas we are not occupied in anything serious. The similar will apply to a person phoning, and we are not taking the phone, we are not answering the phone. Whereas we are not occupied, the person is phoning in. Hadith says, إِنَّ لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. The person that visits you, he has a right over you. He's come to pay a visit to you. He has a right over you. So respect him when he's come to your home or he's phoning in, then at least respect him and show him that type of respect and response that he would desire. But if it is that he cannot see you at all and he asks you, irji'u, then go back, then you should go back. Because he's not in a state to receive you at the time. Perhaps he's involved in something very serious. He doesn't want to see you at the time. He's not in a state to talk to you at that time. And respectfully ask you that go back, come at some other time, then you should have the heart to go back. Don't feel humiliated and disgraced that I came to the man's residence and he had just chased me away. Don't think like that. Don't misconstrue. Don't misrepresent the person. Irji'u, farji'u, hu aska lakum. This will make for better purity amongst yourselves. And the third situation is, أن تدخلوا بيوتا غير مسكونة, entering homes that are not used for living purposes. For some other uses, you have got that home, or the dwelling for some other uses, like you've got a shop, you've got your office, or for example, it is a madrasa, a masjid, any public area, airport, or a jamaat quarter, etc., which is not used for living purposes. It is just for some other reason. You've got your goods there, it's a resting place, it is an airport, it is a masjid, it's a madrasa. So in these places, you don't require permission to enter. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ. Unless it is made known that this is a place that is cordoned off, you will not enter without permission. Like in an airport, you find some offices, and in those offices, you aren't allowed to enter without permission. So don't enter, don't force yourself into these type of quarters, because it is meant for private use. So, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala knows all that you conceal and all that you reveal. May Allah give us tawfiq.